tonight I want to talk about experiencing God's abundant supply. Now, you know, actually, if we're going to experience God's abundant supply, there's two avenues: our natural side and the spiritual side. Now, many people that have been around me for a while, and if you've been to Rhema, you've heard me say this at the school: the natural and the supernatural working together become an explosive force for God. It's not all natural, it's not all supernatural, it's both of them. Now, sometimes it's all supernatural, sometimes it's all natural. There's some natural things you better be. But really, you need to learn to walk with both of them together, and they coming together. You know, we're going to look at Luke 5. And I want to look at it. This is life and an incident in the life of Peter. And I think it begins to talk about what we're talking about. Actually, some of this message that I'm doing tonight, actually, it comes out of my book, Create the World You Want to See. But Luke 5, beginning with verse number 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Now, first of all, let's look at the natural on this thing. What had happened is that Jesus was teaching on the seashore, and the crowd had forced him down until he got in the boat and rowed out a little bit from the shore, and he taught the people. And when he got through, then he told Peter to do this. But now let's look at this. Peter and his crew, I'm sure he had a crew. See, he just wasn't fishing for fun. He was a commercial fisherman. That's the way he was a fisherman. That's the way he made his livelihood. Any of you ever been out? Now, I know I'm not talking about going deep sea fishing. I'm talking about going out on a commercial fishing boat. Anybody ever done that? I have. I was 17. I was traveling with my dad, and he was holding meetings out on the West Coast, and I was traveling with him. And he held a meeting up in Coos Bay, Oregon. And I met one of the boys in the church and his family. And he was about the same age I was. But his dad was a commercial fisherman. And so they invited me to go out with them. And now his dad said, "Now listen," he said, "when we go out, we fish, and we don't come in just because somebody got sick or whatever. You're going to be out there a while. We might be out there 24 hours." And so I went out, and I got sick. But they tried to help me, but they were fishing, and it was their livelihood. Well, they're not going to go back to shore just because one kid's hanging his head over the side. I mean, I was putting a lot of bait into the water, you know, for the fish. But so here they are. They have fished all night. Now, there's one thing. Once a crew comes in, they have to get all the nets. And in that day, if you go back and do a little study, you'll find out that they would bring their nets and they would stretch them out to dry on the shore there and get everything ready so they could go out the next time. Now, here they were. They had done all. They had toiled all night and caught nothing. You know, how many of you have ever seemed like you just worked and worked and worked and worked and didn't have anything to show for it? Anybody? Yeah. You know, we often encounter these kind of situations. These impossibilities, that our knowledge, our strength, our resource is not enough, and we need help, and God has it for us. Luke 18:27 says, "But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. If you ever, people come up to me and want me to sign my book, and I write my name, and right under it, I always write Luke 18:27. That's my scripture. If she signs, she's going to write Philippians 4:13. That's her scripture. All of you say, you should get a scripture that's your scripture. Something that means something to you. Something that, no, just don't go pick up a scripture. Just get one. You know, my dad's scripture was Mark 11:23. That's how he come off a bed of affliction. Now let's look at this. Here Jesus, he tells Peter, launch out there and let your net go out in the deep. Now, here is the preacher telling the fisherman about going to fish. He's the expert on fishing. Jesus was the expert on teaching. You know, that would be like me trying to tell somebody about something, you know. I did this sermon this morning over in Tulsa, Roger, in fact, Roger's been here with you guys the last couple, Roger Sharp, been here the last 2 weeks, I believe. And, you know, he is the retired assistant fire chief for the city of Tulsa. And, you know, well, here I am a preacher and I go tell Roger something about fires. I don't know nothing about fires. He'd look at me and say, hey, you take care of the preaching, I take care of the fires. All right? And that's probably, let's just think here for a minute. I mean, people are people. I don't care if they ever lived back in that day or this day. We all think. And I'm sure that Peter probably thought, man, what is the matter with you? We around here, we don't fish in the daytime. We do it at night. That's when the fish are running at night. Now, we find that Peter answered Jesus in verse number 5. And I want you to notice, he said, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we ain't caught nothing. Now, he goes on to say, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, in order for the supernatural to come in contact with Peter, he had to do something. If you want to experience the supernatural blessings, then you have to be willing to do what God tells you to do. You got to respond and take action. Peter here had to be willing to step out and obey, go back, get all of his nets, get his crew, go back out into the deep and let the nets down in the same place that he fished all night and didn't get nothing. Don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. I did, but it didn't just fall on my head. Now, I say this, obedience to the word of God will give God the opportunity to work the supernatural in your life. See, if, you know, some people are, everything is supernatural, and some people, everything is natural. And we've had a saying, I've heard it for years, you know, you got some people over here, they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And the people over here, they're so naturally minded that they're no heavenly good. Well, where's the middle ground here? That here, not all over here, not all, but here, with the natural and the supernatural together, you got something going on. Okay, you know, some people, you know, they are so spiritually minded that they try to put a spiritual, put a spiritual ending to everything, or everything, you know. I've had people come up to me and say, now what is the, you know, they heard something, somebody said something, and now what is the spiritual meaning of that? I said, there's no spiritual meaning to it at all. It's a natural fact. I'm serious. See, some people, I mean, it's a natural fact, but they want to attach some kind of spiritual something to it. You know, that's those people over here. They got their heads in the cloud. and their feet ain't on the ground. And then you got these over here on the other side. They got their feet in the mud of natural, and they're not any good to earthly. Bring them both together, and you find something that's happening. You know, now, what would have happened? Do you think if Peter had looked at the master and said, "Now wait a minute, we are tired. We just worked all night. Hey, let us go take a nap." And then we'll go out there. Or what if his crew would have said, "Hey, we just got all the nets cleaned up. Man, we don't want to do this." What do you think would have happened? That's right, nothing. They would have received absolutely nothing. You know, many times in order to receive the blessing from God, you got to do something extra or do something that's a little bit out of the way. Yes. You know, in our humanity, we don't always like to do anything that causes us to have to go out of our way to do something. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that if you're going to enjoy life, you got to be flexible. You know, have you ever noticed that some people have such a rigid schedule that everything has to be done at the same time every day? We eat at 5:00. And all the kids have got to be there to eat. You know, here's sort of a little schedule. We always have one. I have a schedule. I'm not tied to it. You can find that. I didn't follow the schedule tonight. You know, this morning I noticed that Rich, as he was leading the worship, on my schedule, it had this song, and then another song. I noticed he did this song and he did that song, but then I noticed that he went into another song that wasn't on the schedule, because that's what he felt the Spirit of God leading him and directing him. You know, I'm a pastor now, I have been for the last 30 years, but I was an evangelist from 18 to 1985 I had 6 years stint in there as associate pastor, but the rest of the time I was a traveling evangelist. And the evangelist, he preaches different than most people do. I mean, this is teaching. I mean, he goes boom, 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 and tries to teaching is line on line, precept on precept. The evangelist, what he's preaching, and what he's trying to do is to get people so stirred up that they jump out and begin to run to the altar before they realize what's happening to them. That's why he preaches like that. But anyway, I travel with the Rhema Singers and Band, and many of you have heard the Rhema Singers and Band. You know about our ministry. Well, I'd pray and get a message, and I felt like that's what God wanted. And I'd be up there, and they would start to sing, and the crowd would start to respond, and the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to my heart and say, hey, you need to change. And he'd give me a couple of scriptures, and I'd write down 3 or 4 little sentences on a sheet of paper like that and go up there and preach for 30 minutes. But, you know, I had to be flexible to the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to be flexible in the natural as well as in the spiritual. You know, there's some church services, they are so tied to that schedule in front of them that they can, if the Holy Spirit wanted to move, he couldn't move if he wanted to, because he's not supposed to move at this particular time. You see, we're supposed to be out of here about 5 minutes ago, because I advertised that we have 6 to 7. Well, tonight we're going to have about from 6 to about 7:15, 7:20 probably, you know. But that's all right. Because what did we do in the first part? We were flexible enough in the first part of the service to allow the Spirit of God to lead us and direct us. And we had some testimonies. We had the healing line. And then what a lot of you don't realize, when we were talking and testimonies going forth, there were people being ministered to all over the place. You just didn't know it. That's the way it works. How many of you, during the testimonies and stuff, and while we were talking here, how many of you, some little tidbit, some little nugget that somebody said really went off in your heart? Look at the hands going up. See? But what would have happened if I would have been so rigid that we just stuck to the timetable? Hello, come on now. The Holy Ghost couldn't move. And this would have been the driest, deadest service that you ever been in your life, because the leader would not allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen. Come on now, let's just be honest, okay? See, now, really, we don't like to go out of our way to do something. You know, we don't like to get out of the routine. It's important that we learn how to let the power of God work with us. You know, I'm a minister. Okay, I start praying back before I was pastor. I didn't have any meetings or something, and I needed money. I needed finances, so I would begin to pray. Lord, we'd agree together and pray, Lord, we thank you for sending us finances. Well, you know, I'd hear these testimonies about all these people, they prayed and they got a letter in the mail with money in it and all that. Never done that back in that day. Never. I have in recent years, but never. You know what always happened? I would get phone calls and letters to come and minister. Now, that means I got to schedule extra services, because I've already got this scheduled here. Now, I don't have any downtime. Usually when you're an evangelist, you schedule your services and you have a few days in between, have some downtime, you know, to recoup and so forth. But now I'm just scheduling it right on top of, sometimes doing one night right after another. But you know what? I found out when God would give those opportunities and I would take advantage of them, I would get blessed more than I even thought I was going to get blessed. But you see, I had, in the natural, I had to go against the grain. You know, I had to do a little extra. I think when you learn to follow God and maybe you do a little extraordinary, I've been known to have a bigger blessing. You know, sometimes we have to learn from this story of Peter. We need to learn some things. Peter obeyed the word, and when he obeyed the word, it gave the supernatural the opportunity to work in his life. And I want you to notice that he was quick to obey the word. Right after Jesus said, do it, he did it. Okay? Like I've already talked about, they had got ready for the next night. They'd cleaned the boat probably. But before the huge catch, there was natural effort that had to be put in to obeying what God told them to do. That boat just didn't get out into the deep by itself. It had, more than likely, they took some oars and rowed the boat out there. And it was on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, I was just last month on the Sea of Galilee in a boat when we went to Israel. We rowed across from Tiberias to across to Capernaum area there. And, you know, and we stopped right out in the middle of the deal and sang some choruses and praised God, you know. I mean, that's where Jesus was. That's where Peter was. That's where Peter caught the fish. Right out in the middle of the lake. Now, it took some effort to get the boat out in the lake. I don't know. I don't know what wasn't any lakes around there. I know that Lake Eufaula is off down that way, off of 40 down there. Off of Lake Eufaula. I've been down there before. And I'll tell you what, you just don't get in a boat and say, okay, boat. Let's go out in the middle of the lake. You had to put some effort to get the boat out there. You got to start a motor, and then you got to drive the thing. Hello. So before they ever caught a fish, they had to do something in the natural. Get the nets, load them on a boat, row the boat, get the boat out in the middle of the lake. You see, it's when the natural and the supernatural came together that they began to get the blessing. You know, if you want to get the blessing, learn how to connect the Word of God and with the natural. How many times do you read in here and it says for somebody to go do something, when they went and did it, then it happened?
Amen.
Remember Jesus told those men, those 10 leprous men? What did he tell them? Go show yourself to the priest. When they did it in the natural, then the supernatural took over. Hello? Come on, we need to get a hold of these things. We need to get a hold of this, you know. Actually, when we do, I want you to notice, he tells people, rise, take up your bed and walk. Until they do something in the natural, the supernatural didn't take place. He told the guy that was blind and had the mud on his eyes, he said, go wash it off in the pool of Siloam. We were just there. I was at that pool of Siloam just last month when we did the tour in Israel. He had in the when he went and did it in the natural, what he was told to do when he went in the natural, he had to walk there. He had to go there. And then the supernatural took over. The man, you know, he told him, stretch forth your hand. Well, he couldn't stretch his hand out. It was paralyzed. But when the man did something in the natural, the supernatural took over.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
You know, as we begin to look at this, I want you to look at four things here that I think they're four simple, really simple. They're really, really simple things, you know. It had to be simple if I thought them up. If you want the supernatural to move in your life with the natural, first of all, you need to know what God's word says. Secondly, you need to believe what it said. Thirdly, you need to say what it said. And fourth, you need to act. Now, we see this all the time in the word, but in one particular one, a guy by the name of Abram, and they changed his name to Abraham, God did. And Abraham didn't have any descendants at all. He didn't have any kids. But yet, he went around telling everybody, I'm Abraham, I'm the father of many. But he didn't have any. But he knew what God said. He believed what God said. He said what God said. He acted on what God said, and he did become the father of many.
Amen.
See, we remember the word of God. It says, if you put your hand to something, he'll bless it. How many of you ever read that in there, where you put your hand to something? You see, that comes back to what I'm talking about, the natural and the supernatural. When we begin to come in line with God's word and do what we can in the natural, it opens the door for the supernatural to come in and take hold with the natural, and then you got really something going on. Come on now. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, sometimes we want everything, and man, wouldn't it be great if we could just sit back and just sit down and say, okay, God, whoo, hallelujah. You're going to take care of everything. Well, he is. Lord, bless my needs. Help me, help me, help me, help me. And you sitting in your house, God's not going to bring money by the wheelbarrow load to your house. You're going to have to get up and go out there somewhere and have a job. And when you go to work on the job, God will begin to take over and help you. Amen. Come on now. My daughter used to, Wesley, her 11-year-old, he's a character, that boy is. And he's an athlete too. He's good. But Denise would go around the house, and he was about five, I think. And Denise would go around the house. My daughter, she'd go around, "Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus." And so she was having a particularly bad day one day, and he went up and patted her on the back and said, "Help her, Jesus. Help her, Jesus." But, you know, we put our hand to something in the natural according to God's word, and then the supernatural power becomes available to us. If you have a financial need, then the word of God tells us to sow a seed by bringing our offerings and bringing our tithes and putting an offering. When we do, then we open up for the word of God to work for us. Now, I'm not talking about some way out something. I'm talking about what the Bible said. The Bible said if you bring your tithes, that he'd bless you. The Bible says that if you give offerings, that he would give back to you. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to get $1 million tomorrow, but I will tell you with, if you do what the word of God says, you will be blessed. Now, see, there's some people that get off over here and they get way off with this stuff. And some of them are calling it prosperity or whatever. I believe in prosperity. The Bible teaches prosperity, but not like some people are teaching it. You want to get the real truth on it, read my dad's book out there called, The Midas Touch. Yeah, The Midas Touch. That's a book that came about because Brother Tony Cook, who was on our staff at that time, he sat down with Dad and he asked him all of these questions about prosperity and all of this. And Dad, we had a tape recorder, and Dad just answered him. Now, they took all of that and edited it and compiled it, and it come into that book. And I'm the one that come up with the title, The Midas Touch, because everybody was talking, hey, you know, if you do this, God's going to do, going to give you, you know, a 100-fold return. Well, you might get it, and you might not. He said he gets 100, 60, 30. Okay. And then besides that, it might not come back to you in finances at all. It may come to you in some other way.
Amen.
It may come to you through somebody giving you something or a good deal on the car. A lot of money all off. I don't know. You know, what we need to realize is that when we get over here and talk about money, everybody starts going, hey. The Bible talks a lot about it, but from the right perspective. You don't give to get. You give because you love God and because the Word of God says so. But when you give, then you can believe what the Bible says and expect to bless it. It's what the Bible says, okay? You know, actually, when the offering goes by, you put something in. And then believe God. Obedience to the Word puts the power of God in action for you. All right? Now, you know, anybody got anything out of this?
Amen.
I'm just going to close it down here. It's a good stopping point. See, we have to know the word, know what God is telling us. We got to know what we need to do in the natural, and then know what God says. Believe it, say it, do it, and it begins to happen. God wants you to be successful. Amen. He wants you to be successful in the natural, successful in the spiritual side, but it only happens when the natural and the supernatural begin to work together. How would this church operate if we didn't do some things in the natural and then expect God to take care of on the other side? I mean, we signed a lease in the natural on this building. Believe in God, Lynette and I, Craig, disbelieve in God that he was supplied a need. And we started the church I didn't come over here and have no launch program or whatever. I just come over here and started. I didn't know any of you people. Hello. We've got a tremendous mailing list at the ministry. I've had, over all these years. I don't know. Did you know when I started this church, I never sent out on the mailing list to all the people. I sent out a card to some people within a 2 or 3 mile radius of the church where we started. That's all it. And yet there are thousands of people on our mailing list. I never sent anything to them. I wasn't interested in trying to steal somebody else's church members in the first place. That's the matter with a lot of these churches. They talk about how their church is growing. All they're doing is taking some out of from another church, and now they got another church, But hey, that's neither. But you see, I had to do something. I had to come over here. I had to find a place. I had to say, okay, we're going to start. That's all natural, right? Got one of my race car trailers that Cameron uses for his racing. We weren't using it because I'd gotten another trailer. And so I loaded it all up with all the stuff. How many of you were over when we were at the wedding chapel and we had to set up every Sunday night? We had that trailer, had all that stuff in it. That was my race car trailer, had a generator on it, But hey, it made a great church trailer, didn't it? And we had all our stuff in there. We'd unload it, set up the building, have them serviced, then tear it down, load it back in the trailer, park the trailer back there, do it all over again the next Sunday night. That's all natural, right? But you that were there and helping do that, we did that in the natural, expecting the supernatural to take over, but look what we got now. How many of you understand? Well, you get a hold of what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, that God wants us to help us and bless us, but there's some things we got to do in the natural, and then it opens the door for the supernatural to come sweeping in. Praise God. Everybody stand up and praise God. I preached long enough. I'm not through, but I'm quitting. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the supernatural. We determined that we will do what we need in the natural, and we thank you that the supernatural is going to take over in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With your heads bowed for just a moment, I never like to preach a sermon anywhere I am. On my crusades, whatever, I always like to give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, because you don't ever know when somebody may need to find Jesus. I like to give an opportunity for somebody to rededicate their life, because there's a lot of people that have accepted Christ earlier in life and they've just sort of gone away from it, and they need to come back and rededicate. And yet there's a lot of people, they go to church, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. If that's anybody in this crowd like that tonight, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. But I got to know who you are, so would you please just raise your hand. I'll pray with you and I'll pray for you. We also believe in what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody here say, I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit tonight? That's not church doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody thank God, because everybody's saved in this place tonight. Father, I thank you. No hands were lifted, and if there happened to be a hand that should have been lifted, I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would deal with them until they stop and accept you, Son, as their Savior. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Okay, connection team.
First of all, Greg has an announcement.
Okay, but the connection team, Greg, you got an announcement? Okay, come and get it.
Thank you, Pastor. Hey, folks, listen, I just wanted to remind you, on the 22nd of July is Pastor Craig's birthday. So, Pastor, Mrs. Hagen, you have to close your ears. You can't say anything. That's going to be his birthday. And for the last few weeks, we've had a birthday card going around, and people, you go ahead and sign it and everything. And we're going to present that to Pastor Craig next week when he's here to speak. So if you did not sign the birthday card, please come up here and see me after service tonight, and we'll make sure you're able to sign that. Thank you.
Yeah, he'll be 47. Ooh. He's getting old. I'm not me. Okay, connection team. Go find our first-time guests and take them to the connection room so they can get that special gift. We got a special gift just for you, just for a minute. Go in there with our connection team, and they'll talk to you. And, you know, so, hey, just go get your special gift. If you come with somebody, they're going to be here when you get out. It's not, they're not going to do anything to you back there. You're not going to have to sign nothing, anything else. We're just going to give you a gift. So go get your gift. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, next Sunday night right here, Brother Craig will be here. Next Sunday night, I'll be preaching in Tulsa at camp meeting. I started off on Sunday night. Who's doing Monday night? Craig's doing Monday night. Tuesday night is Steve Halp is Tuesday night. Yeah, all right. Wednesday night is Mark Hankins. No, Daryl Huffman. Yeah. Thursday night is me. Friday night's Mark. I don't have the schedule, and I don't know who's doing afternoons. I know Charles Cowan and David Sharon are doing the morning services, teaching on faith. Both of them are, I guess everybody that's there is speaking is Rhema grads. Well, Mark actually didn't go to Rhema, but he should have. Well, he's got an honorary diploma.
Yeah, honorary.
I call it honorary. It's honorary. We got to give him honorary diploma. My dad used to go down there and preach for BB, his dad, BB Hankins. Mark was about 8 years old. You know, I've known Mark for a long time. He's a great guy. Hey, but if you can get over, if you can't, get on the internet and watch it, okay? I'm going to go to the door. She's going to go to the door. We're going to shake hands with you again. God bless. Trust you got something out of this. Put it into practice and watch God move in your life. God bless you.